Welcome to the Can It Cook podcast. We hope you'll be encouraged to have an I'm third approach as you navigate family, leadership, and spiritual growth. If you're new to our conversation, welcome. It's so great to have you. Let's jump in.
Well, hello to our listeners. We hope again that your 2025 is off to a great start. And today is going to be a special day on the broadcast. We're going to tell a story today. And our hope is that this is a story that you probably haven't heard before. Today, we're going to hear the story about a dad and a daughter who had a dream. And they got to see this dream go from a dream to a reality. So with that, Joe, would you introduce our guest and tell us this amazing story?
Beth Ann, it is with a very warm heart that we share this story, this very little-known story, with you today. It's a story about a dad and his little girl and a dream they dreamed together. And it just so happens that the little girl's my daughter, Jamie, and the dad is now an old man who still loves his daughter a lot. You know, every kid's your favorite. And we had four kids, and they're all my favorite. But whenever one of your kids, that kid's your favorite at that point. And when you're with one of your other children, they're your favorite at that point in life. But it just so happened when my daughter Jamie was 13 years old, she and I decided to go on a mission trip to Trinidad. And the idea of the mission trip was to take a bunch of Kanaka kids and staff members and join a bunch of Trinidad Christian folks and to go door to door and to knock on 20,000 doors and to invite 20,000 homes to Christ. And it was an awesome trip for a dad and a daughter to go on together. And the fruit of the trip was wonderful. But on the way to Trinidad, Jamie and I had a stop in a beautiful island called Antigua. It was about a 3 or 4 hour layover. And we jumped in a taxi, and the taxi driver was named Roselle. He was a local gentleman, and he was a sweetheart. And as we toured the island, a beautiful little island with white sand beaches and beautiful blue water, he asked us where we wanted to go to lunch. And we said, well, we want to go to lunch where you go to lunch. And so he took us to a dive. And outside that dive, there was a sweet local lady living in poverty who had taken some local throwaway flower sacks. And she had taken these thrown away flower sacks that had really cool emblems on them. And she had sewn some garments together. And Jamie, who never wanted anything, she never wanted to go shopping. She never cared about clothes. She never cared about makeup. She didn't care about boys. She just loved God and loved Kanakuk and loved life. But she asked if she could buy one of those garments. And it were $5. And I was like, she actually wants something? And this beautiful, brown-eyed, delightful girl. And so we bought it. And we got on the airplane, and we started dreaming. And it was at that time that we were dreaming about a camp for city kids. There weren't camps for city kids in America. And it broke my heart, because city kids deserve everything that anyone else does in the suburbs or anywhere else. And so we dreamed this dream together as a family to build this camp for city kids. But we didn't have $1 million. We didn't have anywhere near $1 million. And we needed to raise $1 million to start the construction. And there on the airplane, we dreamed a dream. Why don't we start a teenage clothing company? And I turned to Jamie and I said, Jamie, you think those garments would sell in America? And Jamie, you turned to me, and what was it like for you at the taproot of this dream?
It was exciting. I knew that whatever you did was going to be great, and I knew that you would like support it and go beyond. I knew that, you know, if I wanted to sell 20, you would make sure that we sold 200,000. And so it was exciting. I knew it was going to be a fun ride. And I knew that, yeah, there was no scare, no hesitation, no anything. I knew that you were going to make it happen and make it really fun for me to do along the way. I had no idea what it was going to be. I thought it was going to be, you know, maybe over by February. But I thought we'd still create a couple t-shirts and be done with it. And it just, that's not what happened.
Yeah. Tell us what did happen. Did you come up with a name for this project? And what did it end up actually being? What did you sell? How did you do it?
So it was White Sands Clothing Company. Yeah, that was, I guess, as creative as we could be. But I don't remember exactly how it started, but through the grace of God, he opened doors through relationships that we had. We got to put our junior activewear into Dillard's almost immediately. And so White Sands Clothing Company was born, and we did spring line, summer line, fall line, Christmas line, and it took off.
A couple of fun things, Beth Ann, about the taproot. Jamie has very good taste. She's very creative, artistic, and Jamie's also really humble. It made a lot of money, and she never wanted a penny of it. She ended up in newspapers literally all over the world, magazines, was on television. We'll talk about that in a minute. That was really wild. But it raised several $100,000. And the fun thing about Peanut, as I said, it was all about the mission. And because it was all about the mission, God bless the dream, and the dream came true. I think underneath the dream was the will of God. God wanted kids across America. We've now had 140,000 kids go to Kids Across America since we opened in 1978. The first camp that Jamie so significantly helped build was opened up in 1990. But God wanted the dream to come true. It was almost like, even though, you know, God was using Jamie as, you know, the centerpiece, headliner, if you will, it was God's dream. We were pawns on a chessboard. And, you know, the purpose of the broadcast today is just to encourage people listening. Dream. Dream. And if God's in the dream, nothing can stop you. If God's not in the dream, it's not going to go anywhere. But it was God's dream to build Kids Across America. And it was God's dream to build White Sands Clothing Company in the process.
One of my favorite things that we did, and it really didn't fully have to do with White Sands, but when we first bought the property for Kids Across America, and you and I got on horses, rode horseback through the property. And then I'm not 100% sure why we decided to camp out on the property that night. So it was us and the horses, and we didn't have a tent. I feel like almost we got a flat tire out there, but we didn't. And it snowed on us, but it was so cool to have gotten this property and then to like sleep in the snow with our horses. Just as the dream's coming, just to really be a part of it, you know, in that way. And I just, every time I walk on that property, I think about sleeping in the snow with the horses on that property as we were watching the dream come true.
Yeah, we had run a horse named Red Man. And remember, Red Man took off with Brady. Brady was a little dude, 6, 7, 8. I don't know, how old was he, Peanut? And Red Man just takes off running, and he almost kills Brady.
Fell right off the bat.
This sounds like a true White family story. I wish our listeners could see my face as I'm listening to it. This is genuinely my first time to hear this story. And Joe, you said at the beginning, like, I think this is a story we're going to tell that not many people know. So I continue to be on the edge of my seat. But Joe, I think for a lot of listeners out there, they have dreams. How do you move a dream, you know, from just a thought, an idea, when you feel like I have no idea where to start or what to do next? Like, what would you say?
Well, I've always called Jamie Peanut. And, you know, Peanut was with us along the way. Our family grew up as camp grew up. And Jamie was traveling with Debbie Jo and I from the time she was, I don't know, a couple of weeks old. And she traveled with us for years and helped us actually recruit as we would go out and interview students along the way as a 7 and 8 year old. But our little dream put me in the seat of an airplane next to a gentleman who had a friend who did fabric cutting and sewing. And that led to us calling Roselle and asking for all the flour bags he could possibly find on this beautiful island of Trinidad. And that led to a meeting with the Dillard family. And that led to a favorable relationship with the Dillard's clothing buyer for the junior line with which we were part of. And that led Jamie into, you know, newspapers all over the world. Jamie, do you remember the interview that turned out to be an article in one of those
The National Enquirer.
National Enquirer.
It was awful. So the AP had picked up our story, and it was literally Beth Ann everywhere. Like, it was in every language. It was in China. It was in Africa.
Just
the AP picked it up and went everywhere.
The little white family from Branson, Missouri, yes, in the National Enquirer.
So then the National Enquirer picked it up, and they called for a further interview and photos and everything. And I think they told us their parent company. We didn't know it was National Enquirer. And they did a very thorough article. And I remember Dad coming to me in July and saying, "You're going to be in the National Enquirer." And I started bawling, because I was like, I'm gonna have lizard babies. I didn't know what it was. I was mortified. And they ended up doing a really good article. I mean, they misquoted me, and it was a little bit embarrassing. The funniest thing about it was how many people just happened to be in the grocery line looking, and all of a sudden, page 14, they saw me in the National Enquirer.
Yeah, I was checking out my groceries, and it just dropped on the floor.
Just wide open to page 14.
Wow, Jamie.
But it was, yeah, it was crazy. I was 16 years old and Women's Day magazine, and the Disney, the Mickey Mouse Club called me. And that was when Justin Timberlake and Britney Spears and Christina Aguilera were, like, you know, part of the team. And they, Mickey Mouse Club called to pre-interview me. And I did not do a very good job, because I don't really like talking about myself. And I was like, yeah, I don't know. It's my dad. And I didn't really know it was a pre-interview, and I got cut. They did not want to have me because I wasn't talking about myself. And so that was the only thing I was really sad about. That was the only thing I wanted to do of all the things. We were on To Tell the Truth.
And so talk about, that was an old TV show that everybody used to watch. What was that like for you?
Yeah, so it was a game show. And so they flew me out, and two girls and myself were all saying in that game show, "Hi, I'm Jamie Jo White." And so three of us, and then the celebrity guest asked us questions, and I had to pick, "Will the real Jamie Jo White please stand up?" Well, I get out to LA, and the two girls they have pretending to be me, one is Miss Teen California, and one is some other California actress, these like blonde hair, blue eyes, surfer girls that knew how to dress. And I'm literally there with my side ponytail, my bangs, and my dirty kids. And I mean, they could have asked no questions. They knew who the hick from the Sticks was. So I did not win that game show, but it was crazy. It was, that's
wow.
What I knew. Like, this thing is bigger than I thought it was going to be. So,
and so Peanut, as you said, every season we had to come up with a new line. Well, Jamie had a little denim vest that all kind of like antique trinkets sewn on it, buttons and chains of all different kind. And what happened to the vests?
Yeah, someone gave it to me as a gift, and we thought, well, we're going to try this. And so we cleared out one of the camp gyms and put in a bunch of tables and brought in a bunch of people, and we were all hot gluing everything. Yeah, buttons and pins, just stuffed to denim it was hundreds of man hours, and Dillard just ate it up. And ironically, that stuff is kind of back in style right now.
It's totally back in style. I'm like, as I'm hearing this, I'm like, wait, a denim vest is like on my Christmas list.
Yeah.
Dillard's would call, and they're going, "We need 500 of these by next Wednesday."
So y'all were making them by hand.
Oh, yes.
And so we had camp kids volunteering, because we were building the inner city camp. Camp kids were volunteering in the summertime to come in during their rest period and sew and glue and paste all these trinkets all over these vests. It was a rodeo. We weren't like Tommy Hilfiger and Polo and, you know, Guess. We were just Jamie and her daddy.
This was a true family grassroots business here.
My favorite thing about the clothing line, I mean, it was fun going to market in New York City and getting to like dream up designs. And that was fun. My favorite part is we put hang tags on all the clothes, and every hang tag had a letter from me to the girl who was wearing it. Yeah, teenagers were not fun for me. The piercing was not fun for me. I just wrote from my heart to the girl that was hurting, and they wrote back. And I wrote back letters, and I corresponded with hundreds of girls who were hurting, and I was not alone hurting. And that was my favorite part, just to curl up my room with those letters and to write them back and to be like, I feel you, like, I know. And yeah, for me, that was the best part about the clothing line. You know, Kids Across America started, and it was great. And yeah, my focus just kind of became those girls. And I really, that's what I missed the most when we were done with it, was that, you know, hearing from hurting girls and getting to write back and be like, I know. So
it makes me think, Jamie, of just that Ephesians 3:20 of like, God is able to do immeasurably more than we could ever ask, think, or imagine. And, you know, he took this little trip to Trinidad and then a dream, and, you know, just continued to do things bigger than you guys could ever have probably imagined. And to now today see the fruit that is still coming from Kids Across America, that's when you go, oh yeah, this was an only God thing. Like, he gave us this dream, but this was a God dream that we just got to be a part of enacting. And that's really amazing.
Yeah. And it even goes beyond that, Bethann. At some point, once we built Kids Across America, we started working with World Vision. And I had a picture of a little Cambodian child on my nightstand every night. And I just looked at that child, and, you know, we kind of were working with World Vision, building a hospital there. And I decided that I'm going to adopt one day. And that's, you know, from a flower sack in Antigua to the picture of a Cambodian child on my nightstand to whenever people say, why did you want to adopt? And I was like, I always knew I was going to adopt. Always. That was always my plan A. And, you know, and so I have the children that I have because of a flower sack, you know. So just, it I mean, so much more than anything. I mean, it changed my life for sure.
You know, Bethann, for years, we've had the blessing of getting to work with parents all over the country and the world. Everyone that's a parent knows that parenting is the highest of the highs, and it's also the lowest of the lows. No one can hurt a parent like a child, and no one can hurt a child like a parent. People ask, how do you navigate being a dad? How do you navigate being a mom? There's a few just key points that you can hit. And if you hit those few key points, the chances of it coming out well are very, very high. And one of them is to dream dreams with your kids. And to help your kids dream their dreams, and for you as a parent to get excited about their dreams, and for you to give a whole lot more applause than you give criticism along the way, and for you to be the one with gasoline tossing it on the fire to help your kids' dreams ignite, and for you to be the one to toss diesel on the fire and to help their dreams ignite. And this is just a little bitty, minuscule story of a bigger story of parenting, about walking alongside your kids, about having enough relationship with your kids that you are there for those moments when you see a sparkle in one of your children's eyes, and you can read that sparkle, to see that sparkle as a dream in debate, band, poetry, acting, athletics, whatever it is. In this case, it was loving maybe less fortunate children and then coming alongside that dream and being the biggest cheerleader that child has. And through that dream and other dreams like that, that Jamie's dreamed throughout her lifetime, you end up with a great relationship. Parents, people talk about grandparenting. And you know what? It has been a wonderful experience being the grandparent of 17 grandkids. But the best part, parents, is not being a grandparent. The best part is being best friends with your grown kids. That is the carrot at the end of the race. And it begins at whatever age your children are, of finding out, how are they wired? What do they want to accomplish in life? What are their dreams? And then walking alongside their dreams and helping their dreams come true.
Well, listeners, I don't know about you, but I am feeling inspired and encouraging after this conversation. And our encouragement again to you is to dream and dream with your family, dream with your kids, dream with God. And just remember, when God is involved in our dreams, He'll do more than you could ever ask, think, or imagine. So with that, we'd love to pray for you. God, we thank you today for time to not celebrate anything that the White family has done, but we celebrate, God, what you have done. God, thank you for the gift of dreaming, and God, the way that you come alongside us as your children. And God, would you encourage all of the listeners out there, God, to seek you and to really search out, is there something, God, that you're calling them to do? Would you give them the courage to step out and to do it? God, we love you and we need you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
We hope today's conversation left you encouraged, strengthened, and empowered. If you haven't had a chance, please subscribe to our podcast today to stay up to date with the latest episodes. If this podcast has helped you in any way, please consider rating us, writing a review, or sharing it with others so we can continue to build you up with an I'm Third approach to family, leadership, and spiritual growth. For more information about the podcast, visit CanacookPodcast.com. And for more information about Canacook, you can visit Canacook.com.